From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fifth day of February 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Mark Russo will join us from Risk Pulse in Chicago. He has been taking a hard look at what's happening in Argentina, especially as it relates to the corn and soybean crops. They're in their June-July period right now, so for corn, really important. There are some really high temperatures. We'll keep an eye on that. But as we move through these 2 months, he also expects they'll start to get closer to their average 1 inch of rainfall a week. And in the United States, in the Midwest, that's about normal. So we'll see what impact that has when we talk to him. We'll also discuss today what's been happening in Washington, D.C. with the Farm Bill and the Section 199A provisions of the United States Tax Code as it was updated late in 2017. We'll do all of that right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. This is WILLAG.org. Right there at willag.org, you can find your tickets to the All-Day Ag Outlook. They are now on sale, $30. Up on the top of the screen there, the first news story is all about who will be there and when it is. The 6th day of March over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Don't delay. Buy your tickets right now, just $30, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you there. One of the people that'll be on hand for the day is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on this Monday afternoon to take a look at the marketplace. Hey, Kurt, thanks for being on the list for the All Day Ag Outlook in March and for being here today, too.
Well, you're quite welcome. Enjoy being part of the Outlook meeting. It's quite an event to go to. A lot of ideas are floated around that day as well. Well worth being there.
Well, we hope everybody gets themselves signed up. Again, they can do that now, willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. Cost is $30. You can just buy your tickets right there online. Now, I don't want to start with the grains and the oil seeds. I'd like to start with the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Real-time number tells us where we stand today. What are we looking at?
Well, it's gotten a little worse since we first started. We're down over 1,500 points. I guess the Patriots fans are a little mad when, the indices often, you know, there's some correlation between the who wins the Super Bowl and which way the indices go. But over the last 10 years, been about 50-50 on the results. The last 2 years, the New England Patriots have won. And when the AFC wins, oftentimes the market goes down, but the market's gone higher. So with the Eagles winning, the NFC winning, that indicates an up market. So I don't know if we got a contrarian event taking place here or not. But the Dow itself has been incredible. It was overdue for some type of correction, and we're seeing that correction. It looks like it's trying to do it all here at once. Fundamentally, they're trying to talk inflationary fears. We've got bonds higher and energy's lowering through here, so I think it's a flight to equality, a little concern, and it's moving the sidelines. I don't know if there's more things to come out of Washington on what's going on news-wise there to kind of upset the apple cart here and make a little bit more of a concern of our leadership or not. But it's brutal. The concern, though, is investor confidence. And oftentimes, whenever you see a flush out like this, it does spill over into the agriculture products as meat consumption could go down and overall demand could go down in a sense. The positive part is if there's some liquidation to take place, the commodity funds are still fairly short the grains in the corn sector, about 131,000 contracts of corn, about 97,000 contracts of wheat. So if they need some money to make margin calls in the stock indexes, hopefully they'll buy back some short positions there, Todd.
Yeah, so just a couple of quick things about the Dow, and I just did some numbers. So at 27,000 up on the high end, and I don't quite recall quite recall where we were, but 24,000 would be about a 10% correction, and I'll call it that. And if you went to 20%, that would be 21.6. So those are kinds of some areas that you might think about watching. So lots of things happening with the Dow Jones Industrial Average. However, we're worried about the grains and what's happening there. You told us a little bit about what was taking place. Soybeans are lower, I take it, because there is rainfall in the forecast for Argentina.
Yeah, short term there is. We're looking anywhere from a quarter to 1.25-inch coverage in some of the drier areas. And after that, you know, the forecast is, still a little questionable. So that's put some pressure on the beans in through here on a little profit taking. We've had quite a bit of run up in the beans from those lows that we saw here back in January. In fact, we rallied 60 cents off the lows. These March beans are at 969. If you look at some Fibonacci retracements, it's 967.5. It's about 62%. Back down to the low here we had a couple weeks ago. We're seeing a situation where that's kind of breakout to the point to the upside. The other thing about the bean sector is exports are kind of slowing down just a tad bit. We're still shipping out some beans. There's ideas that Friday maybe the bean carry out could be just a little higher, but that's kind of a little early to get too excited about losing a whole lot of demand here because we still have a large portion of the marketing year to go. So we'll see what the numbers are here at the end of the week here as far as the supply-demand balance sheet and see if that actually is going to take effect because we need to get a handle on what type of production numbers we're going to have in the Southern Hemisphere. We have seen some downgrade estimates. The Argentine crop's expected to be closer to 54 million metric tons versus 56. And the Brazilian crop's probably going to remain right around that 111 million metric tons versus 110 million metric tons. So there's a lot of moving parts in the meat complex to watch. The other concern that really probably got everybody kind of excited overnight more than anything was the Chinese coming in and talking about launching a anti-dumping probe into U.S. sorghum imports. That could start to project maybe a little tension in the trade that's going on worldwide. I don't think they'll come in and cancel the beans or involve beans because basically they've fairly well bought what they need for sorghum. They're fairly well done with their sorghum purchases. They still have quite a bit to ship, but that could be a little factor in here to watch as we move forward, Todd.
So when we look forward, and you mentioned this, but the USDA's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate reports are out on Thursday of this week, and you'll be watching, I take it, very closely, as you mentioned, what those numbers look like out of South America. Do you expect USDA to shave off any soybean exports out of the United States?
I think it's a little early to do that. If they do, it'd be minimal. We're currently in this 2.160 area. They might go down to 2.15. It might take 10 million off of it, but I think they want to see how that crop materializes. Then, too, if we run into some harvest delays or some type of transportation issues, that could shift some demand back to the U.S. So I don't see a huge fluctuation on that number on this go around.
Okay, and before I let you go, give me an update on the Dow, where it stands real time right now, and then we'll head into the rest of the program.
Well, if we would have bought, we'd been better off. The low is 23,691 on the Dow March futures. Right now, we're at 24,535, so we're almost over 900 points off the low, but we're still over 900 lower on the day.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care.
Of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Don't forget to pick up your tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook. You can buy them now online at WILLAG.org. The All-Day Ag Outlook is Tuesday, the 6th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the House Ag Committee will again hold a hearing tomorrow, February 6th. The committee continues to take steps for the next farm bill. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Mike Conaway of Texas says the economic situation now, compared to the process of writing the 2014 farm bill, is starkly different.
So as we get closer and closer to actually taking the farm bill to the through committee and onto the House floor, it's not lost on any of us that the writing of this farm bill is dramatically different than what was done in 2014. 2014 was coming off of two or three good years, good yields, good prices. Things were relatively good in production agriculture. Nothing could be further from the truth today.
The committee has compiled a draft of the farm bill and is awaiting a cost analysis from the Congressional Budget Office. Conaway's office says the draft will be released when all titles of the bill have a score or price tag associated with them. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue will speak with lawmakers during the hearing. Perdue has traveled the nation since becoming secretary, hearing from farmers and ranchers.
No one better to help share that with us and share that message than Secretary Perdue. He's done a terrific job over the last year of traveling the countryside, going into homes, going into places, and talking to real producers about what struggles they are currently facing. And I look forward to having his wisdom, insight into what we can do to address these issues by having his State of the Farm Economy presentation on the 6th of February.
The current farm bill, signed into law in February 2014, expires later this year. Elsewhere in Washington, D.C., Congress is likely to pass a fifth short-term government spending bill, or CR, this week. That's a continuing resolution to cover spending for fiscal 2018, even after many Republican lawmakers backed the last one, only because they thought it would be the last if no spending deal can be reached. Another government shutdown could start by the end of the week. The House could vote as early as Wednesday on the spending bill that authorizes spending through March 22nd. That would buy leaders another 6 weeks to work out a long to-do list, including budget caps, a long-term omnibus appropriations package, disaster relief funding, and Democrats' demands to secure protection for the so-called Dreamers, or undocumented immigrants, who were brought to the United States as children. The bill may also include a fix for Section 199A. That's the part of the recently passed tax law that gives cooperatives an edge when buying grain from farmers. Why would that be included in the CR, you ask? Well, one, because it's a must-pass piece of legislation, and two, because for many, this is a must-fix tax loopholes. Now let's circle back around to the farm bill, where the longer Congress takes to sort out all these major agreements on government spending, the later it could push action on that bill, which expires the 30th day of September. Provisions in the House passed $81 billion disaster relief package already in place for cotton and dairy programs, at least on the House side, would have a major implication for the amount of money available to agricultural lawmakers crafting the farm bill by boosting its baseline. Both Senator Pat Roberts and Representative Mike Conaway, the chairman of the respective Senate and House Ag Committees, have said that Congress enacting such provisions would make passing a farm bill on time a whole lot easier because it would get two of the more contentious issues out of the way. There's also the added challenge of securing floor time if spending battles continue to dominate Congress's attention. Floor time simply becomes pretty limited. And finally today, we'll go from Washington, D.C. to California, where a recent study by the University of California, Davis, that's UC Davis, says farm fields are causing major nitrogen oxide pollution in the state. The study says recent findings show that agriculture is one of the dominant sources of nitrogen oxide in the United States. It says the impact is especially large in the Midwest, where fertilizer inputs are substantial. The study took place in California's Central Valley, with the authors saying more study is needed around the state before new policies are suggested. If the study is proven, it means a lot of new regulations for farms around the state of California, with producers and the agricultural industry stakeholders not happy about the idea. And that's a look at the day's agricultural news. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, farmers figuring crop budgets for this year will face an uncomfortable reality. In order to break even on cash-rented land, generally speaking, it will require above-trend yields, higher prices, or some combination of the two. 2018 is shaping up very much like the last 2 years, says University of Illinois agricultural economist Gary Schnittke. Each of them began with dire price and income outlooks. Higher than average trin yields financially salvaged what were expected to be very poor seasons on highly productive soils in central Illinois. FBFM, or Farm Business Management records, show farmers in this area of the state harvested 228 bushels of corn per acre and 69 bushel soybeans on average in 2016, and while the numbers have not yet been fully summarized, project 2017 yields at 221 and 68, says Schnittke.
Past 2 years, 2016 and 2017, what saved us or had caused our incomes overall to be positive were high yields. You know, we had 20 bushels above that on corn. 70 bushel beans on soybeans was not uncommon. And so we've had good incomes the past 2 years because of yields. And now are we going to expect that to continue into 2018?
Factually, since 2012, corn and soybean yields in central Illinois have been at or above trend. The weather and management, says Schnittke, will need to produce another year of above-trend yields in order for cash grain farmers to break even again this year.
So that's the question of the hour. If they put those 202 bushel, and we would be saying this year for that type land, 202 bushels for corn, 60 bushels for soybeans would be our trend line yield. Again, that will result in negative numbers. If you want to have a positive cash flow, you're either going to have $4 corn on that budget and above $10 soybeans, or you're going to have to put in higher yields. And again, putting, you know, 220 corn yield in there and a 70 bushel soybean yields will get you close to break even. Again, that's the same situation as we've had in 2016 and 2017. So we're, again, rolling the dice again. We either need yields above what we would regard as trend or higher prices.
Illinois' Gary Schnittke calculates break-even will require a $3.97 average cash corn price with a trend yield of 202 bushels to the acre. If the average yield is 229, then the average break-even cash price would be 350. The figures for soybean are $9.85 at the 61 bushel trend and $8.84 with a 68 bushel yield. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. The Dow Jones Industrial Average has bounced back after being down about 1,500 points while we were in the midst of our conversation with Kurt Kimmel. Actually, I talked to him just before we started on the air. It was down 900, down 1,500, down 900, and now we're joined by someone else who has some real-time quotes. And maybe Greg Johnson can give us an idea of where the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands. Hey, thanks, Greg. What's happening with the Dow?
Yeah, hello, Todd. It's down 964 points as we speak.
He's bounced back some. Actually, a lot.
I guess the good news is it was up 28% for the year, and now we're down, I don't know, 6%, 7%. So yeah. We're still up, but you feel bad for people that bought it here in the last week or so, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was in, Todd Hubbs was in my office earlier today, and we were just looking at it, and I kind of said, there's a level there around 2,300 that seemed to like a place it might stop, and that kind of looks like where it bottomed out. But we'll have to keep an eye on it. We've got about a minute and a half. Tell me about cash grain situation today.
Very quiet today. The weather is probably slowing things down a little bit. We've had a nice 3-week run in the futures market in corn, and so that's translated to a little bit of farmer selling, but all in all, very quiet. We're seeing basis levels pretty much steady from where they were a week ago.
Because I figure you've been hearing about this more than the Dow, do you think that they'll be able to fix the Section 199A or the cooperative grain marketing portion of the tax law this week? Have you heard anything about that?
Well, they would have to attach it to a spending bill. And from what I understand, it's going to be tough to do because if you do that, then it opens up other things. And I don't think they really want to open up other things. So I think it'll get solved, but maybe not as quickly as what we would like.
All right. And quickly, your bids for the day, nearbys.
Nearby corn, 344. Nearby beans, 950. And new crop wheat, 452.
Hey, thanks so much, Greg. Greg Johnson is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media, the first official day for the sale of our All-Day Outlook tickets. And the All-Day Outlook is Tuesday, the 6th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Tickets again this year, just $30. Buy them online right now at willag.org. That's willag.org. Mark Russo is now here. He is with Risk Pulse to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. By the time we get to the 6th day of March, we'll know a whole lot more about the Argentine harvest and crop. But today, we're still wondering where they stand and if rain is going to come in to save the day, and what you think about the corn and soybeans in those areas.
Yeah, well, first off, before jumping right into the forecast, certainly this growing season for Argentina, it's one of the drier growing seasons we've seen in recent years. In fact, when you add up rainfall totals across the belt since October 1st, this year is running the lowest rainfall of this decade. Now, a lot of that still doesn't tell you the story. Obviously, the timing of heat and dryness is critical here for crop development, and we're now within the critical stages for corn pollination and upcoming for soybean pod development. And right now, we are in the midst of a heat wave across Argentina, as well as a dry stretch across the region. And that's going to continue for another 3 or 4 days. And that is due to ridging of high pressure currently over the belt. However, that ridge is projected to break down late this week and over the weekend. And that will allow for opportunities for rainfall and also will allow for temperatures to begin cooling down. And that's really been the story for Argentina this season, where we've gone through these windows of drier and hotter conditions, followed up by some rain. And then we see a similar pattern here going forward. Likely not going to fully eliminate the dryness, but certainly getting into another window of improvement from like this week through much of next week, too.
If you look further out, especially for the soybeans, we think about them as a later season crop. Do things get better?
We do see a pattern here that features generally more normal rainfall or within the normal ranges, which across Argentina is around an inch of rainfall per week, probably not at 100% of normal over the next 6 weeks, but in that kind of 80% category or 80% of normal here. So a little bit below normal, but not like it's 50 or 25% of normal. So overall, we see a general kind of near normal rainfall pattern. You extend that further out and just not seeing any signals of any return to any long duration dryness or heat.
So in comparison, June and July in the United States, the Midwest, the primary growing regions, about an inch a month or an inch a week is normal for them as well.
Especially across the Midwest region, a little bit lower during this time of year in the Midwest and for the winter. But as we go into the spring and summer, then similar, if not even a little bit higher precip amounts here in the Midwest corn and bean belt.
What do we know about the Brazilian crop today?
Brazilian crop is in very good shape. That's true in both southern Brazil as well as northern Brazil. We've seen a replenishment of soil moisture over the past week in northeastern areas of Brazil, and that increase in rain has also resulted in some heavier rainfall in some of the northwestern acreage centered in Mato Grosso, where they're trying to harvest the soybeans. So that's caused some disruptions to the harvest progress, but from a production standpoint and yields, it's been a very good growing season up to this point.
Hey, thanks so much, Mark.
My pleasure, Todd.
And of course is Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.